prisoners. Allow me to introduce myself. They call me Roach, and you are listening to the Roachcast. Tonight's show is our very first one, our inaugural episode. And for that, I would kind of like everyone to kind of get to know me. What are my influences? Who were the ones that were there that really got me started down this little path? I'd be remiss if I didn't mention William Cooper, one of the best, one of the pioneers in this movement. I carry his book, Behold a Pale Horse. Everywhere I go, it's always in my knapsack. Obviously, Alex Jones. I know what he is now. It's a little bit strange. It's hard to kind of follow him just because he's been banned off of everything, essentially. But I feel like he's had a lot of influence in this little community. I think he's done a lot of good, but I also think he's done a lot of bad. I have my own beliefs when it comes to what really happened with William Cooper. I will get into that another time. But for now, yes, Jones is definitely one of my biggest influences. He was one of the first kind of mainstream guys that started talking about this sort of thing. And I don't think we would be where we are without him. I've read a lot of David Icke's stuff. Some of it I agree with, some of it I don't. I'm not sure when it comes to the lizard people that he likes to talk about. But there's definitely an argument that can be made. But I'd say, like many of us, we all kind of got started in this little community probably around 2007, I would say, around the time that Zeitgeist, the first one, came out. That one had a huge impact in this industry and this entire community that we have. I was more of a fan of Esoteric Agenda myself. I was also a big fan of the Freedom movie, but those don't get as much notoriety as Zeitgeist. I feel like they really paved the way for a lot of it. Even though a lot of the information in there, it was good, but at the same time, it was a little bit damaging. It is what it is. It was a good start. I'd recommend anybody who's really just starting to get into this little movement, to this little community, go watch Zeitgeist. Go back and rewatch it if you've seen it before. It still holds up. It's still one of the best conspiracy movies out there. Because it's easily watchable, it's easily digestible, and quite honestly, Peter Joseph has a really good voice. Very captivating, just like William Cooper, just like Alex Jones. It's like he was made for radio. Jordan Maxwell, another one, another pioneer. A lot of stuff that he said kind of still rings true today, if you really think about it. If you really go back, if you watch some of Maxwell's stuff, a lot of the stuff he said really came true. Just like Bill Cooper, same thing with Jones, a lot of the stuff has come to pass. And like people like to say, conspiracy theories are usually true. And conspiracy theorists are usually right. Not always. We're not batting 1,000. It is what it is. Everyone's going to get mistakes. Everyone's going to think it one way, and it's going to be the other way. That's just life. Life throws you curveballs every once in a while. You can think that you're right all you want, but if you don't have all the facts, you really don't know shit. And that's why I like Bill Cooper's motto. Read everything, watch everything, listen to everyone. Don't believe it unless you can prove it yourself. I really feel like this world is kind of... we're kind of getting away from that. We're kind of getting away from real investigation, real journalism. I feel like the majority of people around the world today read only the headline. They only see the headline, and that's what they base their judgment on. That's what they base their opinion on, what they read on the headline. They never read the entire article, because why would they? They don't have time for that. You read the talking point, you read the headline, and you regurgitate it when somebody says, no, that's not true. Or when someone like me tries to corner you with fact and logic. The first thing you're going to do is bring up these headlines, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to say, read the whole article. If it says debunked, chances are it's probably not. But since this is the first episode, I don't want to get too deep with what I honestly think is going on. I'd like to just kind of let you get to know me a little bit here. I would say, how about this? I'll give you my top three favorite conspiracy theories. We'll discuss them at a later time, but just so you kind of understand what I like, what I'm really into, in no real particular order. I would say the true origins of NASA. That's a big one. I love the moon landing. Can't say anything about that. Flat Earth is a fun one. I would not say that I'm a flat earther, but I would also say I'm not married to the ball. I will be honest, I honestly believe that the shape of the Earth really doesn't matter. I think that's the wrong thing that you're, I think that's the distraction. That's the Scarlet Whore Babylon for you if you want. That's the great distraction. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. I think what does matter though is whether or not the firmament itself exists. If it does, then what has NASA been doing for what, like over half a century, sending rockets into space? Why haven't they told? If it's real, if the firmament is real, that means there is no space. What have they been doing? What have they spent, like, what, hundreds of billions of dollars on? What is this space program? And I'm also a really big fan of, like, conspiracy theories that have to do with either sports or music or Hollywood. That's always fun too. There's a lot you can get to. A lot of dark shit that's coming out of Hollywood and the music industry right now kind of feeds into another segment that's going to be featured on this show later on. It's called Beyond the Video. I'm sure a lot of people have been waiting to hear what this is about. Don't worry, that'll be coming up pretty soon. But when it comes to conspiracy theories in sports and music, we'll start with sports. I'm a big basketball guy. It's kind of a new thing for me. I used to be much more into football, but I kind of have a new appreciation for basketball at this point. And a lot of the conspiracy theories coming out that, let's say, people like LeBron or Dwayne Wade, they're Boulé, maybe. Like, LeBron does have the tattoo on his chest. Let's be serious. I'd also postulate that LeBron is actually the athletic, like the lead, like the leader of the athletic division of the Boulé. I don't think anybody gets anywhere without him or his endorsement. Same thing with Hollywood. No one gets anywhere without, let's say, Oprah, Hanks, a lot of people that are a little suspect at the moment. I think that's where I'll leave it. Weinstein was a big one too. You didn't get anywhere in Hollywood without Weinstein's little endorsement there. And look what he was into. Again, open secret. I think a lot of us kind of knew, but we just didn't really want to talk about it. It's dark. It is a dark subject. I will probably get into it in later episodes, but for now, like I said, you can keep it light today. That's why the video I chose for Beyond the Video is what it is. It's light. We're not going to get into anything deep, nothing dark for now, but just, a nice little easy introduction. So with that, let me explain what Beyond the Video is. I had this concept in my head for a little while. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it logistically, but the original concept was I would have two music videos, one from before 2000, one from after, both kind of mirroring each other in some way, shape, or form. I would break down each one. I would break down the cult symbolism in each one, and I would try to show you the agenda then and the agenda now. I realize that I can't do that. That is way too much for this, especially given the fact that I want to have a Twitter thread as an accompaniment for this. So when you get a chance, go to my Twitter at Roach Knows All. I will be dropping the thread for Beyond the Video at the same time that I drop this episode. So it's kind of like a little read-along for you. I hope you enjoy it. But as I said, two music videos would be way too much for me. I don't have that kind of time. So we're gonna start with one. We're gonna do one. We're doing Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. Might as well. It's the debut episode of the Roachcast. Might as well do the debut video of one of America's biggest pop stars. This took some research. I had to really dive deep into this. I had to go back into Britney's past. I had to look into a lot of this video, and I'll be straight up honest. I'm really happy that I'm over with this. I've already recorded it. I'm gonna be posting it right after I'm done this little opening monologue. But if I never hear "Hit Me Baby One More Time," it will be too soon. I cannot wait for next week. I think I'll save what next week's Beyond the Video will be for later on in the show. But anyway, hey, here's Beyond the Video. Welcome to Beyond the Video, where we take a nice little dip into the occult world of music videos. Let's have some fun, shall we? Tonight's video is Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. This one's a fun one. It really was for a little bit. After a while, this song gets very annoying, and I really got tired of watching this video over and over looking for something that I may have missed. I don't think I did. I think a lot of the stuff in this is very subtle, very nuanced, if you will. A look here, a seductive glance there. You have to remember something about this video. Britney Spears was, it really depends on what you believe on when it was recorded, the video itself. She was either 16 or 17 during this period of time. The ultra-suggestive lyrics to this song should not be sung by someone who's technically in high school still. But let's start with a few of the symbols here. The clock was very interesting to me. Why would a major music video production company make such a glaring continuity mistake as the clock and bell are off by 3 seconds? Again, unless it's meant to be there. 3 o'clock and 3 seconds. You drop all the zeros, it's 33. An obvious reference to the 33rd degree of Freemasonry. An invite only. After you've made your contributions to the great work. What is the great work? Helping bring about the New World Order. I think this is Britney's first contribution to that. I'm not saying that she got into the 33rd degree of Freemasonry because of this video. I'm just saying, I'm using it as a metaphor. I'm saying that she has done something to further the great work for the powers that be. This video, I think, was meant to desensitize people into believing or thinking that if you look at a 16 or a 17-year-old girl, that it's, you know, wink, 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 nudge, nudge, okay. You can look at them as a sexual option. You're ignoring the age. Just because, again, it's the typical male response. It's the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's not that bad, right? I'm here to tell you that it is. It's still gross. You're still kind of pervy for doing it. And honestly, look no further than the outfit they chose for the first part of this video. They chose the typical male fantasy, the Catholic schoolgirl. Why is that? Because they know that's going to trigger that little spark in your head to thinking like, ooh, look good. You know, don't pay attention to the age. Looking sexy though, right? Yeah, see? That's how they get you. They make you think it's okay. It's not. It's not. You are allowing yourself to be manipulated by these people. These sick people with their own little agenda. Everything you see on TV, everything you see in the movies, everything you hear on the radio has a reason. It is there purposefully. It is put there. It has its agenda. The people running it have their agenda. So, what's the agenda here? Well, it's quite simple, really. Look at what's happening here. Look at Britney Spears. She is dancing, all seductive, in a Catholic schoolgirl uniform. She's basically showing you, first of all, she's showing you her roots. It's kind of funny. She grew up a Baptist Christian from Mississippi, from the Bible Belt. What's she doing dancing like this? What is she doing basically exploiting her body at such a young age? They told her to. They know they can't get anywhere with the good girl image, especially not at this time. But this came out in 1998. No one was into that. They wanted the edgy look. They wanted the I don't care look, the bad girl image. That's what everyone wanted. They wanted a more marketable persona. And that's what they got here. You can see the transformation. You can see you're going from the goody-goody to the I'm going to dance basically half naked. This was not done before. This was all very, very new. This was viewed very controversially, too. If you remember, people, they didn't know what to think about this. It was like, you're showing us the religious aspects, but it's juxtaposed to the impropriety of hooking up with high school girls. Because that's basically what is happening here. That is what that's what they're showing you here. That's what you're seeing. But you don't see it because it's a catchy tune and it's just dancing, right? It's just dancing. I'm here to tell you that it's not. It's actually more of a ritual. It is an initiation ritual. Or maybe a humiliation ritual. Who knows? it's really up to the powers that be, the people that are producing this, to tell, to kind of show you without telling you. You have to accept it. That is how they get to you. That's how they kind of own your perception. They show you the narrative that they want you to see. So the narrative here is, look at this. Look at this sexy girl here. Isn't she good looking? Look at the dance moves. Look at all this. Forget the age. Don't think about the age. Put that in the back burner. Don't worry about it. Look over here. It's a great distraction. That's what she is. Anytime you see somebody wearing red, just like in The Matrix, the lady in red, it's a distraction. Pay attention. You'll start seeing it more and more. Look no further than last year's Super Bowl. Look at the halftime show. What did Shakira come out dressed as? She came out dressed in red. Of course. Scarlet Whore of Babylon. The Great Distraction. That's their role. That's what entertainers are there for. They are there to distract you so that you don't think for yourself. You actually take their word over someone you actually trust in your own real life because a celebrity said it. Like, well, they have clout, right? They got to where they are because of whatever, so they have to be right. Why would they lie to you? Because they have an agenda. Or should I say, their handlers have an agenda. Just like this music video. So what's the agenda here? You can argue that it could be, let's say, the video itself does not have an agenda. It's just kind of showing you, okay, this is kind of what it's going to be for now. You're kind of seeing the transformation of this is how Britney used to be, and this is how she's going to be for now. Or you can kind of look at it the way I do, and it's a desensitization thing. It's they want people to view this, and they want them to be okay with it. They want people to be okay with sexualizing a 16, 17-year-old. And why is that? Because that's what they are into. The powers that be, the producers, the higher-ups in Hollywood, the music industry, the entertainment industry, this is what they're into. They have this weird, unhealthy obsession with the forbidden fruit, if you will. They lust after young flesh. Not just for themselves, but they know they can exploit it. They know that they can make money off of that. The younger, the better. Just, you can look at Billie Eilish. Did not take them long to snatch her up. So with that, I'm going to leave you with my little rendition of what I think is actually going on in this video. I think this is less of a music video and more of a high-budget advertisement for underage sex. Take into consideration the uniform, the costume design, all the weird little, you want to call them dance moves, you can, but these little seductive poses, these little seductive looks that she gives you, she's literally looking at you, she's literally looking into your soul, she's looking into your eyes, giving you that, you know the eyes I'm talking about. And again, you forget. She's 17. That's what this is for. If you don't believe me, I'm going to leave you with one final piece of evidence just to support my claim. Hopefully. We've all heard that old rumor. You know what I'm talking about. If you play records backwards, certain songs backwards, you can find a little hidden message. Yeah, well, this song seems to suffer from that, too. Here is the chorus of Hit Me Baby One More Time, played regularly. Here's that same chorus played backwards. Did you hear it? One more time. Life is stranger than fiction sometimes. And welcome back to the Roachcast. I really hope you enjoyed Beyond the Video. Like I said, I'm glad that one is over. Just a few little housekeeping notes here. I would actually like to shout out a couple of podcasts that are near and dear to my heart. I listen every week. Some of the best. No Mercy with Tommy G. Tremendous last episode. The Matrix is Breaking, I should say. They covered Q, Anonymous, Defund the Police, and ribbed each other for about half an hour. And honestly, with all the dark shit going on in our day and age right now, the world today, it's nice to get away from the doom and gloom sometimes. Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripley. Always delivers, like the pizza guy, seriously. Last episode, he had Ryan O'Neill to talk some James Alefantis and Comet Ping Pong. Had me on the edge of my seat. Please, throw Sam a follow at Ronan Sam Tripley on Twitter. Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture with Isaac Weishaupt. Truly one of the best and brightest in this community. If you are not on the Patreon team, get on it. His film analysis of Stanley Kubrick's Lolita and Jeffrey Epstein's Filthy Rich is unbelievable. The parallels between Lolita and real life are mind-blowing. Throw him some love on Twitter and Instagram at Illuminati Eyes. Final thoughts. Check this out. I got a driving while on the phone ticket. You know, one of those really shitty tickets. 3 demerit points, $615 in fines. Yeah, I got that last July. I had totally forgotten that my court date was June 10th. You know when I remembered that? June 13th, yesterday, honestly. I called the courthouse, I was gonna fight it, and I called them and they said, due to COVID, all court proceedings are postponed till July 3rd. So hashtag winning. If there is a silver lining to this whole pandemic bullshit, at least for me, I didn't get some demerit points. I didn't have to pay $600. And quite honestly, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have to go to court. So with that, I think that's where we'll wrap it up, fellow prisoners. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll be back next week. If you liked what you heard, please throw me a follow on Twitter, wouldn't you? At Roach Knows All. Don't forget to subscribe. And if I could bug you for a rating and review, I'd read them. Maybe on air. We'll see. Take care of yourselves. Question everything. And as always, watch your step.